The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome, everybody, to April's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. The finishing line is in sight, and I can tell you, dear listener, that all the journalists and pundits around this table are also in the mood for summer holidays. Around the table, we've got Andrew Simpson here from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
A weary good evening.
Swampy's here from the Non-League show.
Good evening, and as my last show, and actually...
It's not your last show, we've had this discussion before.
Well, okay, if I'm allowed to be synced in somehow whilst living in Brussels in the next couple of years,
well, I think
that's fine.
I think I did a pretty good impression of you last month, so I can do that. Just write me some things down, I'll do your voice.
An hour and 10 minutes we recorded the show, do you remember last month?
It was very good, wasn't it?
It was. Berkey's here from 26 Nil.
Whoa, hold on a second. What's this?
What?
I've been impersonated by Berkey.
Oh, you only did a couple of impressions.
They were good though.
Hello, welcome. They were, me, not here in Brussels.
He does that. But so basically, he said he was Frank Sidebottom with the ginger bonds.
And James Hayes is here, social media officer from the league.
Evening.
Hello. We've also got coming up.
He's been busy as in the last week.
Very
last night.
Can we all have a minute's applause or something? Yeah, if you listen to this at home, on the train or wherever, just stand up for James Hayes. He's had a hell of a couple of weeks, haven't you? Done well. Doing really well. I'm not patronising.
I was expecting
Ben,
you
almost.
In all fairness,
yes.
James has done a tremendous job. But I tell you what, he doesn't half love it. Last night, goodness, games being called off left, right, and centre. He missed 4 goals and 17 penalties. enjoying. What was going on? Oh, what, that game's off? That one's on. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that one.
It was like watching Kay Burley in action.
I can't do an impression of Teagot, but. What he was probably thinking is, oh, how can we find a way for Hyde not to get promoted?
There was a mention of that well before
now,
the game kicked off.
Also,
well, we can't say anything because the FA are going to be. Oh, sandwiches, thank you. In half an hour, boys. And he went and was like, wow, where's he gone?
We'll have more on the how can I put it, the footnotes, that is the promotion race in Division 1 North, on the Division 1 show, which is available on this...
You did say footnotes there, didn't you?
I did, yes. Well, it depends on your point of view. That'll be available on the Division 1 show, which is also out on this channel. So you can...
Oh, that was the show that we did...
on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday, that basically I was making a really good point. You took it over and pretended that you knew everything I was about to say because I'd already told you in the bus.
There's also an interview there with Lee Picton at South Shields. Congratulations to them.
Can we actually say that now? Are we allowed to say it?
Yeah, it's official.
Oh, thanks, James. Cheers. Heads up from James.
And we've got...
They beat Radcliffe to win the championship, so...
And everyone beats Radcliffe to win anything.
Very true.
And depending on what happens with Alva Church on Thursday, we might have Alva Church on that show too. Phil Parkinson will be coming up on this particular EvoStick NPL show, the manager of champions of the Premier Division, Altrincham, and we'll talk about Altrincham shortly before the break.
I've also someone on the table said he were getting promoted.
Who said that?
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Someone's listening to the first show of the season this
just
week.
Just to let everyone know, Teagot, because he's obviously now always looking at all sorts of... He's gone back to the very first show we did.
Yeah.
And he's got stats.
Oh.
And he's got...
And we can't deny stuff that we say.
Well,
you know.
We can deny it because basically we haven't listened back. What Teagot's put,
did
we don't know it's true or
did
not.
Did Berkey say 10 points, Falter?
He did indeed.
No,
oh,
no.
9 points, two games left, Warrington only on a one game.
You've not heard the interview with Phil Parkinson, have you? Cause
no, it wouldn't download on the phone.
I've told him that 9 points will do. Just to make sure that.
Yeah, he did. Right.
Anyway, let's talk about.
Berkey has said over the last 5 seasons. Ooh, hello. Ooh, 10 points, 10 points, 20 points.
Sound, Berkey.
It'd be a whole season.
Nothing like me.
Love it. Be a whole season. Berkey.
Let's talk about the playoff race then. Warrington, Ashton, Grantham Town, Farsley, Shore Lane. Time of recording, remarkably, Grantham aren't guaranteed a playoff spot yet.
Well, the time of recording last night really cost him. It was them and Warrington, 0-0 draw, and it's invited Ashton back into the race for second place now as well, as a result. I think that was the worst result for both teams there. I mean, Warrington just needed a point to get a home playoff match, but I reckon from their point of view, they wanted to get it done and dusted and have a match rest, ready for the playoffs.
Well, they have got home semi-final.
They have, yeah, but I mean, obviously, to have a home final as well would be the same situation.
I mean, have they got a home semi-final?
Yeah, Warrington
have, but what about the others? Because going into this last weekend, all four, from third down to sixth,
anything's
still on the table.
Well,
and that's...
Well, it's pretty amazing. All depends what Shawlane do on Thursday night as well.
They've got a home game against Barwon.
Yes.
So they're going to win that one.
We have to assume that, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ben, why don't you send what Simo just said off to Jimmy Ginnelly before it goes live on Friday? Send it to him tomorrow morning and he'll go up the wall. And Barwell will somehow manage to win that game. Charlene had a really good result the other night. Yeah, I mean, they really dug it out against Nantwich. And they've stabilised,
haven't they, under Chris?
It's not a surprise, though, to a degree.
They've had so many games in hand. And you would have expected them with those games in hand, to be.
You've got to play them though, haven't you?
And they ceded home advantage in
a lot further up where they are. I mean, they're on the precipice of, obviously, if it goes their way, yes, getting to the playoffs. But let's be honest, they should be in the playoffs already. They should have been there.
They've thrown it away.
They have thrown it away massively. Either manager, you know, let's not forget, the last manager lost four of the bounce. That was all. If they don't succeed and don't get up there, you know, who do you blame? Do you blame the four games of the previous manager?
Or do you blame
the new introduction of a manager who hasn't got them over the line?
But it was a symptom of a wider malaise, really, weren't it? The four-game defeat. No one sacks a manager because they've just lost four games.
Unless they panic.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, are you surprised at the 14 games they've lost at time of recording, which seems a lot for someone, a club like Charlotte. But are we being too critical when the fact that you consider that, you know, this is their first season?
Well, that's just conversations I'm with Carlo.
Warrington last season.
Yeah, we were saying last night after the game that, you know, three promoted teams, Farsley, Charlotte and Witton, have been in contention for the playoffs. Possibly two will make it. Certainly one, I think, will be in the top five. And normally promoted teams, whether they're playing it safe, they'll say, oh, we want to consolidate, we'll go for it next year, things like that. Maybe all three, to a lesser extent, yeah, sure, then I get that. Certainly I would say Farsley and Witten have exceeded expectations, certainly outside the clubs, and I would say maybe inside their clubs as well.
Yeah. Especially when you consider Farsley, it's a total new management team.
Yeah,
new
lost key players.
I think you're exactly right with those two teams that you mentioned there. I don't think the expectation was,
no,
let's get automatic promotion against the playoffs. It was, let's get as near as we can, let's consolidate this season. We know the trials and tribulations of Witten. Farsley themselves have done very well this season. But yes, I think Shawlane are a slightly different kettle of fish because they are...
They romped on last season.
Yeah, and you know, financially they've got...
Well, between first and second, Shawlane and Witten,
they've got security blanket financially, haven't they? What hasn't helped them this season is the fact they haven't got a pitch. They haven't got a pitch that has actually been conducive to them playing football all through the season, and that is the thing that will cost them. I talk about the pitch has let them down in the same way as 1874 ground sharing at Winsford. You know, as a football club wants to go into the National League North, have to address, and they haven't been able to address it this season. The weather hasn't helped, we know, but you know, the weather is weather, and you can't do anything about that. And that is the thing that maybe.
But an interesting chat I had with the Sheffield FC, one of the directors, and they've had hardly any games called off. And it is about investment in the pitch, because they've got a women's team
who
play.
How you prioritise? I think that's a really good point. And one of the debates we've been having when we've been sick to death of the weather is, and Alan Alcott used to make this point on air, so it's not necessarily an original thought, is that when you go through the ground grading, it's so vague when it comes to talking about the pitch. It's almost like a sentence, and it used to drive him nuts. You almost need to compel people to invest in their pitch, because that's surely the most important.
If Charlotte don't go up this year, they have to invest in the pitch over the summer, don't they?
Anything is not their pitch.
It's not their ground, though. That's the problem.
It's a very difficult. It's 1874. You know, it's not their ground. You know, it's Winsford's, and that's where the problems have occurred. And you know, Witten have done really well with helping on occasion.
Yeah.
I've advocated this on this show and other shows that I do as well about. There has to be a pot of money, and I'm talking a huge pot of money for every football club, down to maybe step seven, that every football club is given £1 million, £2 million from this football coffers of money, which is abundant everywhere. You can't spend it on players. You have to get to a standard where every football ground in this country down to step seven has the facilities and the quality to be able to put up with the vast majority of weather in this country.
You don't need £1 million to do that, though.
Well, you do if you want to build the ground, you want the facilities.
If we're just talking about the pitch, though.
The grounds are already
there. Yeah, the pitch.
No, the pitches. I'm talking about pitches. I'm talking about facilities. Look, we can even talk about going to Salford now. They've got a great ground, but they're still operating from porter cabins for the players. Mm. That'll change in the coming months and next season. But you go to grounds where the facilities are horrendous. You compare it to not even semi-pro clubs in Europe, in Italy, in Germany, in France, in Sweden, in Switzerland. They're far superior to what we've got. And if you want... No, hold on. If you want the England team to succeed, it has to filter all the way down. You're providing players to play on good quality football, on good quality pitches, with great facilities. And if you don't do it, England will never win a World Cup. I'm quite happy with that, because I don't believe...
I'm an Ireland fan, really.
Yeah, me too. And he is too. Just to talk...
Thanks for pooing that all, Ben.
When it comes to Charlene, then, we obviously don't know at this stage of the evening where Charlene are going to be. Fans of Celtic and Grantham Town are on that trapdoor if Charlene are thereabouts. What do Grantham need to do, James, to seal
Grantham
the deal?
Pretty much just need a point at this moment in time.
Just need a point.
Even then, they could have sealed home playoff last night. It's down to them, but at the same time, that 0-0 really cost them, and I think that's where the difference between the likes of Warrington, who are used to a playoff race by this moment
in
time.
It's a good result, though, against Warrington, isn't it?
It's a good result, but...
It was a lot riding on that game for Warrington as well.
But compared to everything else on the night, that's what's put the shine off it, and I think if they've got to go somewhere like Ashton or Warrington for the playoffs.
Warrington, just quickly, have had a very interesting season because they, again, have invested in players, which is exactly that's fine, no problem at all. That they were one of the teams that were fancied, then they lost a big proportion of that team to injury and long term injury, and they suffered for a great deal. Quite a while. We saw them at Buxton, didn't we? Me and you, Ben.
Connor Hughes,
and I think Carden's done a tremendous job.
Brilliant.
And I think, you know, I mean, Altrincham, clearly, we'll talk about that a little later on. But I think Warrington Town have done their youth team have just won
they've got a grand final against Matlock.
Yeah, but they've just won the league as well. Haven't they? Yeah. Just won a league, the youth side in the Northern Premier Youth Alliance and all the rest of it, which I used to be involved in a number of years ago. It's always a great thing. You see your kids coming through and doing really, really well. And you've got to say, you know, they're cemented now in that position. And I think Carden, after the trials and tribulations, and obviously they're a team that people wanted to beat week in, week out, because everyone knew they had a bit of money, but he's done brilliantly well, and they play some very good football as well. They're not just a team of just ploughing through. They play good football, and I'm really pleased for him in a lot of ways, because, you know, when they lose so many players as they had done, that came back eventually, and they are rightly where they are.
Warrington have changed stylistically, and I'm really pleased they are where they are this season. I think most of us predicted that they'd be right up there this season.
I know it's like I was going to say, it's pretty much what everyone was expecting, that they would be there.
But
for Ashton.
Sorry, Ben, I just want to say about Grantham Town, I actually think it was a really good result against Warrington. We've said this a couple of times before on the show, but Grantham's away form is actually better than the home form, and it has been throughout the season.
Yeah, they've had a few blips, haven't they, in the recent weeks as well, which is like you're thinking, oh, Grantham going to fall out, but it's a good result for them.
Absolutely.
There is a chance that Ashton United could finish the season in second.
Which
would be pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, up to the 40th minute last night, 40th minute on Tuesday night's game, sorry, that wasn't happening because they fell 1-0 down to Matlock Town. Mm. And I think that's when Jody realised that the season was on, because then Charlene were winning at the time, Farsley were just coming back into their game. I think Jody realised that there was a lot on the line on that stake at the moment. Except if they'd lost that game, Charlene won last day of the season, they've got pressure on to get into it.
Just to say, for the last game of the season, Workington are hosting Ashton United.
Yep.
Stourbridge will be hosting Warrington.
But this is the thing, I mean, the Stourbridge game is not a gimme. At all. No. We know they've had a poorer season than what we've been used to.
Game, though, either, is it?
No. Not well, I don't know. I think it probably is, actually.
I'm saying that Workington
have
only
three games in the next four
yeah,
days.
I agree with that.
And is there going to be any more postponements? I mean, the rain here the last couple of days has been ridiculous.
It has, yeah.
don't know what it's like elsewhere, but it, I mean, we've had thunder and lightning here in Manchester the last couple of hours, so just that Stanley Bridge game being on is a miracle.
I liked it. I wanted to come to this show tonight and ask you all the question, who's going to win the playoff semi-finals? But
we don't even know who's in it.
We don't even know who's going to be in it. We don't even know who's got home advantage. And that goes to show you...
I honestly don't believe home advantage has any bearing. And I'll tell you this.
Are you having a laugh?
No, I honestly don't.
Why?
Because if you're good enough, you're going to win. If you're good enough, you're going to win. Simple as that.
It's not true.
No, it is.
It is not
FC true. FC United away at Bradford Park Avenue. Bradford Park Avenue were always going to win that game.
Why?
They were.
No, here, Swampy. If Grantham are away from home, they'll fancy their chances more than if they're at the Kesteven Stadium. They will do. They've only lost... Oh, actually, no, they've lost more away from home than at home. Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, you did so well.
The points
they've got more points at home.
No, it makes no
this
difference.
No, it's very important. They've got more points at home than they have away. And then you look at... Ashton United.
Berkey, just go back to what you said about
no,
5 minutes ago.
Play you said like Ashton United.
You said that very same team had won more away from home than at home, and you've changed it round now because you've looked at the stats and realised they've actually won more at home than ever away.
No, they've won more away, but they've lost more away as well. They just haven't drawn many.
No one can play Hurst Cross like Ashton United can.
Correct.
Oh, come on, you're
just, true.
You're talking nonsense.
Except Curtis Ashton.
When it comes to playoffs, the best team will win the day, win home or away. It won't be down to, oh, the pitch is slightly sloping. It's this. Nope. It's down to the attitudes of the minds of the players. It's down to the way the manager gets them sorted out, and basically the best teams will win. It doesn't matter, home or away. Sorry, end of.
Berkey's got something amazing to say.
Actually on his feet.
Farnsley will win the playoffs.
Why will Farnsley win the playoffs?
They have got
their away form.
They've got a brilliant away record. They've only lost 4 times on the road all season.
Well, there they set up, and the other thing I'd like to say is as well, obviously fans of Celtic are no strangers to playoff success, are they?
Exactly. Nope. And that's if they get in, of course, to the playoffs.
I think they will get.
I agree.
So
I think the teams that are actually there will be there.
I think it's next that four as well. I think when you say home advantage, I think they're all similar fan bases, so you're not going to get a game where there's going to be
similar. That was one of the points. Thank you. You're right. He's dead right. You're not going to get, oh, there's 10,000 of them, four of us. It's all very similar. There's not really a difference between anything at all.
Yeah, again, if Ashton and Farsley had lost on Tuesday night, I think we'd be saying a lot different story than we are now. Because, again, obviously the playoff race would be wide open. You're sure Lane would fancy the chances.
And in fairness.
But I think you're right.
Is it possible to say there's a favourite?
Well, you
to
just
win the playoffs?
Wouldn't you assume Warrington are the favourites?
You'd have to. I mean, they finished second, didn't they? They're slightly.
Unless Ashley United finished second, and then would you put Ashley United as the favourites?
Yep.
I think. I'll warrant
as it stands. As it stands now, just tell me who would play who, and then I'll give you.
Warrington will play Farsley at Warrington. Ashton will play Grantham at Hurst Cross.
Right, okay. Well, I would say it'd be a Warrington Grantham final.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm going to say it'll be
Because we have to say something. There's no point in going, oh, yeah, what are you doing here? We might as well say it.
I've seen Farsley play twice this month, and I've been really impressed with them. They're in good form.
Good football
inside. You wouldn't necessarily want to play them. They're going into it in really, really good form. In fact, they're probably going into it in the best form of the four.
There's no question about it.
What you said earlier about Warrington, in the pressure on Warrington, regardless of that Tuesday night game, it's going to be proper.
I think it's on them, yeah. I think it's on them. They're also racking up suspensions and injuries. Again, Warrington, Tony Gray's out for the rest of the season. He's such an important player for them. They've had a couple of red cards in the past couple of weeks. Another red card last night. So these little things starting to stack up against them. It still doesn't mean they're not favourites, but I don't think it's as clear as maybe it might be.
I think if it was Warrington Grantham final, it'd be a very, very, very good final. And it'd be hard to pick a winner out of them, and that's no disrespect to Ashton or to Farsley, but I've made a decision. I've got to stick with what I think. I'll probably prove them wrong, and the final will be between Shaw Lane and
Well, I said Stourbridge are going to win the playoffs, so
I said Stourbridge are going to win the playoffs.
Yes, you did.
You know what absolutely does my head in about playoffs, when people go, oh, it's a lottery. It's not a lottery whatsoever. It's on the team that plays the best on the two fixtures that goes through. There's no drawing of lots. There's no numbers going around the blooming bingo system.
And therefore, it shouldn't make any difference if you play home or away there.
I mean, it could be worse.
It does, though. But that doesn't make it a lottery because someone's got home. Like Hyde United, they haven't lost at home all season. If they were up against a team in 7th place, Colwyn Bay, which they are on Saturday...
You've not said that for a long time, have you?
No, that's very true. That's very true. But if they were up against... Yeah. It doesn't matter which team they were up against, they'd fancy the chances because they haven't lost at home all season.
I think it's great it's going down to the final couple of games.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, if this was the National League, where it was the top six, I reckon the teams that win the elimination round, as they're calling it, have got a better chance than the teams that are starting the semi-final because they've got that momentum going into it. Someone like, say, Spennymoor, for example, they're on good form at the moment. They win their quarter-final.
I think one good thing for Warrington is you've not suffered the agony of just missing out on the title.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, psychologically, they're in a better place than we've seen other teams.
If this was the same situation as it was at the beginning of April, again, different story because there was one result that really cost them a title.
There's only one team, in all fairness, that have suffered pain hugely in that four, and that's Ashton.
Yeah, yeah.
On so
they
many
have got
occasions,
scar tissue, haven't they?
And they really have. Now they've got a great manager. They're playing good football.
They've got the players
excellent
coming back
football
as well.
Players coming back and doing really, really well. And Jody's done brilliantly well. And you know they've got goal scorers in the game in that team as well. And they play good, exciting football. But they are the one team with a history, like FC United have a history for six or seven seasons.
It does matter, doesn't it?
And it does. And you can have the best game in the world, and all of a sudden you've just lost it out of nothing. You've lost it. And Ashton did it against FC a few seasons back in a game where
FC then lost on penalties
and they got beat. Yeah, and so therefore, you know, I'm hoping it will affect Ashton as we talk about maybe history and things that go for and against, so maybe counteracted a few things I've already said. But again, I'm just giving an idea and a thought process of, you know, what goes through a club rather than just the management, because the club's history does affect the management a lot of the times without realising it.
Let's talk about a team who are well out of it, Altrincham. On Wednesday, I caught up with Phil Parkinson, and we'll hear that interview now, and then when we come back, we'll have a good old chat about the champions.
So, Phil, a big thank you for joining us. First things first, a big congratulations on securing the title. Great performance all year round. You must be dead chuffed.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. All the hard work over the last 12 months has obviously come into fruition, and everybody's just ever so pleased with getting over the line and getting the job done.
I mean, we spoke early in the season because obviously, you know, it was a big leap that you were taking, obviously, you know, from Nantwich to Altrincham, and it was a bit of a sluggish start. And I've told you this before, that Whitby game that took place early in the season, that seemed to be a bit of a turning point for yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I've obviously got a different perspective to that. Obviously, a sluggish start with regards to the results, and everybody is always going to judge us on results and look at that. But the performances were there, and that's why I knew we would turn it round. And Whitby, obviously, getting that result in probably a tighter game than the previous ones where we'd sort of lost and drawn, obviously looked that way. But to me personally, people keep going on about the sluggish start. I mean, it was three games and then we went on a great run. So it's sort of getting under my skin a little bit, keeping hearing that. But for me, the performances were there. And I remember after the first game, everybody was getting really upset because it was Stafford Rangers, and their fans certainly were rubbing it in the fact that they'd beaten us and our fans bitten massively. And everybody was sort of thinking it was the end of the world. But I remember just going into the bar and trying to reassure everyone, sort of saying, I've seen this before. As I said, when I spoke to you previously, I went through exactly the same thing the previous season in Nantwich, where we lost the first three, I think it was, and then went about 17 games unbeaten. But we knew we would because the performances were there, and I've always sort of invested in that. If you get the performances right, the results will come. And I know we are a results-driven business, and that's what we've proved at the end of the season as well, where we've had a really tough run of away games, obviously Buxton, Shore Lane and Grantham, which really tested our resolve defensively on pitches that you probably wouldn't associate with the style of football that that my teams play. And we overcome them. So we've shown each side to a game this season. It's been a fantastic achievement. I mean, someone brought to my attention that that's not been done before with regards to somebody dropping out the Conference North and going straight back up at the first time of asking. So it's just an absolute credit to the whole football club that we were able to do it. And I've sort of addressed everybody now, but as I've said previously, if the fans weren't behind us, if the board didn't back me, if the players weren't on side, if the management team didn't do what I've asked them to do, we wouldn't have been able to do it. So it's been a massive achievement by all.
And you've touched on something there. I mean, we've commented it over the years, just about that relegation. It is an unforgiving one. And there's been several sides who've not just got relegated one year, but then got relegated the following year. It is one of their things. And you touch upon, you know, the fan base and that kind of thing. Altrincham, obviously, in recent years, it's not been the best for the club. And you could feel confidence growing as the season was progressing. I mean, what's your take on that side of things about elevating definitely. The club back to where it should be?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the biggest thing for me was obviously listening to the fans and listening to the demands and the expectations of them, which I kind of knew, but I didn't realise to the extent of how deep-seated the fan base was at Altrincham and the historical side of it. And that's something that I tried to educate my players on. The more I learned, the more I shared with the players, the documentaries that have been on about Altrincham, the history behind the football club. And I think it really helped bring the fans and the players together with regards to the players understanding where the fans were coming from, and the fans sort of seeing how much the players appreciated them when they got behind them. And it has snowballed. And I think the last couple of away games, and people say, oh well, that's just because you're on the verge of getting promoted, that's why the fans were so behind you in the away support. But the away support has been phenomenal all season, and it has got stronger and stronger, and it was a real sight to behold the last couple of games. And the relationship that is now there between fans and players is absolutely immense, and it'll stand us in such good stead going into the next season.
Now, Berkey from this parish always says that a team's going to win the league by 10 points. And I'm urging you, Phil, not to do it. Nine's fine. But yeah.
Right, okay.
That said, I think it was last month, there was a slight that you did leave the door ajar. And Granford did come back at you. What was your thoughts at that point?
We knew everybody over the season was going to have a little bit of a downturn. And I mean, I would say every time we were winning, and we were winning convincingly, I kept trying to send out that hidden message that there is going to be this point where it's not going to go our way. But again, bar one game, Stalybridge, I think, I don't think we played particularly poorly. It was just things didn't go our way in terms of, it felt very much like that first three games where every shot went in, and we're talking one or two shots here. And sometimes that happens in football. And what you've got to do is just keep your composure and remain calm. Now, if I thought there was something fundamentally wrong, then, yeah, I probably would have panicked a little bit more. But I didn't. I knew at the start of the season that we were performing. It just wasn't going away. Now, obviously, there's only so long you can sort of look at it like that. But I was proved to be right, because it was a couple of games. You're talking two games here, but it was a 6-point swing. But then we regrouped and we looked around us, and we knew other people were struggling. They did, and they weren't able to recover, and we were. And it's a sign of a very good team, that being able to do that.
Well, just before you go, Phil, obviously it's a customary question now. I mean, you've got a game this evening, which should have took place last night. But you have won the league, and that means, are you looking now towards next season? Because we have touched upon it here. I've got a funny feeling that the expectation amongst the fans is that Altrincham should be not just one division higher, but two divisions higher. How are you managing expectations for next season? Because the National League North next season is going to be very, very competitive.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that we are realistic with our aims. I mean, my realistic aim was to come in and to get us straight back up. I knew with the experience that I've got, and also knowing that league, but not just that, the size of the football club, I sort of looked at it and I thought, I've got to do something really wrong here not to get this right. Although other people might have thought that before me and did get it wrong, but I sort of backed my judgment and it come good. But with regards to the expectation, there's no way I'm going to stand in front of everyone and say, listen, we're going to bounce straight back up, because it was a 3-year plan. I've always been open with that plan. It was to go up first time. People criticise me for sort of saying that, saying I shouldn't be coming out in public saying that, but I do. I sort of always believe in standing by what I've said. So next year will be about consolidation. There's no two ways about that. We won four games the previous season when I wasn't in charge at that level. So that tells you how difficult that level is with players who had played in and around that level. So we will seriously be looking at consolidation. Obviously, we're pushing as hard as we can. We're not there to make the numbers up, but consolidation will be the key thing next season. And then really kicking on in the third year and having a proper go at it. But there's a lot of full-time clubs now. I think Altrincham has to be realistic. If we're not going to be a full-time club, which we have no plans to be at this present time, then we have to be looking at that. It's probably our level at this moment. And then obviously the next stage is, can we kick on? And I know Halifax have sort of done it in the league above and other teams. But for me, that's something that we have to be looking at on a long-term plan. Are we going to change our business plan? Are we going to look at it like that to go full-time? But at the moment, we're a part-time club and we're going to be fighting amongst full-time opposition. There's getting close to 50%. Maybe I'm high-balling there of teams that are full-time at the level above. The level above is a monster and we're really relishing the challenge to sort of get in there and show what we're all about. We're sure we can compete. We're sure we can really push on next season, but there's no way I'm going to say that we're going to be looking to top it and bounce straight back up, because that would be an unrealistic target for me to set the football club at this moment in time.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in Stockport, the home of great beer and the Evo Stick NPL show.
I've got really good beer here, actually.
What is it?
Well, you're never
going to. Breaking news, Altrincham 1-0 up at the time of recording as well.
How topical is that?
I know, it's amazing.
Andrew Simpson. Because the Robins aren't bobbins, says me and all the supporters.
Andrew Simpson is here from the Mid Cheshire Guardian.
I am.
Swamp is here from the Non League Show.
I am indeed.
Berkey's here from 26-0.
I am Ben.
And from the league, social media officer James Hayes is here.
And Ben from Rugby League's famous Betfred League 3.
League 1. Oh. League 1. For now. Right. Super League beckons. Right. That's a joke. Right. Bill Parkinson and...
Yeah, wise words.
As always.
I did... Now, I have to say this to the listener because, you know, I get a lot of criticism. We've been doing the show 5 years now in its present guise. And, you know, Swampy's been critical of me, saying, you know, you never send me the stuff in advance. You're always there. I've sent him the interview in advance. What did you think of the interview, Swampy? Simo, you do your homework, you got notes. What did you think of
I listened to the interview. I did listen
Ben,
to the interview.
Can I just say...
gold star for you,
thank
Simo.
You very much.
Ben, when did you do the interview then?
Lunchtime.
Okay.
You were listening to a band called Anarchy of...
You were watching... No, he was watching Sons of Anarchy.
Anarchy of Florence or something?
I was watching Sons of Anarchy. And you know,
he also said something else which we can't broadcast.
Yes, yeah.
And in fairness, Ben, I didn't realise the relevance to the interview because it's the first time in 5 years we've actually given us an interview in advance to listen to.
You pretty skillfully turned that around.
So
yeah, did,
you know, for you know, you can't blame me. Sons of Anarchy. I'm into the sixth series. I'm into the third series, and I'm leaving in 2 weeks. And the downside is you can't get to. BBC iPlayer, or indeed, you can't get Amazon in Belgium at the moment. So.
Have they not got Netflix? Is it not on there?
No, it's on. It's on the whole point of making it was. It's on Amazon.
Oh. You can't get Amazon in Belgium. Have you not got a VPN?
I've already.
I tried it. It didn't work. but basically, Ben, thank you for trying to provide us with the first.
I'm just
thing
trying to do things properly. With a week to go before the last show.
The thing is this though, Ben. Did you listen to the Jordan Hume interview last week? As well, when he mentioned him.
Yes, we should say thank you to James Hayes, who did do some interviews last week.
At the awards.
Altrincham.
Fair play to him. After the start, they had Ben.
He doesn't like that.
We can't.
No,
we can't.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm not a journalist anymore. I can say what I like. Right.
You've never really been a journalist.
Well, no.
You're a pundit. You're a pundit.
He's been a man of principle and a man who knows about football. And yes. I actually do take on board a lot of what Berkey says.
Not all of it.
I discard most of it, but I do take on board it.
A big congratulations to Altrincham, though. They've earned it. And plans for next season. It's going to be a tough National League North next season for Alter.
I think it's going to be a little bit easier this season, actually.
They're going to compete a lot more than they did the last time they were in there, I think.
Well, yeah, of course they are. I mean, they were dreadful. They were absolutely bobbins.
Well, they had two managers as well, didn't they? They had two managers.
Well, they had three
managers, actually, didn't they?
The whole season, you just knew as soon as the first ball was kicked.
Actually, you're wrong. They had a draw the first day against Darlington that season. And it was a last-minute equaliser by Darlow as well. If that hadn't have gone in, that season may well have gone in a completely different direction. As it happens, they were dreadful. They got quite rightly relegated because they weren't up to standard at all. And next season it'll be a lot better. I mean, they'll be aiming for top 10, no question about it.
I think ideally aiming for quite a bit more. I think they will be aiming for a little bit more. They're financially a stable club. They brought in the right manager at the right time.
Absolutely. One thing is he doesn't have the experience for this division. One thing we were saying about Parkey when he came into Altrincham this season was that he knew the division inside out. We thought it was a masterstroke getting him in.
But haven't we found now that in recent years that the promotion from the NPL to National League North...
Mm.
To be fair...
Generally goes pretty well.
It does, doesn't
yeah,
it?
It does, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, Parkey's a manager... with a good team around him, they play football in the right manner, in the right way. I and you, Ben, know this division inside out, and we know the quality that's there. We also know how difficult it's going to be. The one thing that Parkey would be looking at perhaps is with the team that have at this moment in time good finances, good squad. Will they go to maybe rather than 2 days a week to 3 days a week, as a lot of clubs are already? There are teams like Telford as well who are 4 days a week rather than the three. Stockport County, if they don't get promoted, we're looking to also do something similar. They're already doing 3 days a week. I think Altrincham have the facilities, have the quality, and have the opportunity under a manager that plays progressive football. Mm-hmm. He's a philosopher of football as well, which I think helps massively in a lot of ways. He's got a great understanding of the game in a very much similar way, I think, as Kelly has at Hyde. And I think they're both very similar managers in their philosophy of football. Yeah. And it's great to see. It's not a question that they've won, it's the manner of the Wonder League. You saw them at Grantham through the week, and the goals that they scored and the quality against a quality Grantham team, they put them to the sword, and they are worthy winners, and I am looking forward to them in our division next season, because they are going to be a really entertaining team, and they'll get more support behind them again, because as the season's gone, they've got more and more and more and more and more support.
I was just about to say, that's literally the same thing you said on the first show of the season. That's what Altrincham had to do to get out of this division.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Simmel said, saying that they would stutter, and it's how they would recover from that pretty much immediately.
Well, so you're both right.
And again, same time, yeah, beautiful. Because you had that little start of the season, they were in the same sort of situation as Staley Bridge, weren't they? They were 21st, 22nd, they'd lost the first three.
When I was writing stuff down when he was talking, I thought that was a really interesting point about the start of the season, not about the results. He made a point where he was saying that outside the club, obviously Stafford give it the big one after winning on the opening day. It flipped. He had to reassure the club that things were going to be okay. Don't worry, we'll be okay. Because they're in this new scenario, the expectations are so high, and I think that's...
It's right what he said.
Parkey's biggest triumph is managing that expectation, by the way. And it just thought it's curious that a new manager who could have been under pressure was the one doing the reassuring rather than the club reassuring him. I thought it was quite interesting.
It's right what he says. Teams who get relegated from... step two.
They're the first team to bounce back, which is incredible.
And what's also interesting, what you say there, Samoa, as well, is because you're right, the pressure.
Yeah.
Considering the previous season, three managers, the board could have gone in those very early days, and we were all astounded at where they were, but it was so early in the season. But the board could have gone.
He could have panicked.
Another mistake made, and then it would have been fourth manager. But they stuck with him, and they've got the rewards, and he could be a manager, in my opinion, that could take Altrincham to full time football.
I think he's got better as a manager.
Well, the pair of them. You see them on the touchline. You see the way they work, the philosophy of football, everything about them, and they're young managers in a lot of ways. You know, and the experience that they've got
already
is fantastic. They'll be great for next season, and I can honestly see them going further.
They watch the game with an active eye, you know. They're not just taking the match in and being reactive. They are proactive in what goes on. And you know, Udi reminded me of Jonathan Bernard's team when they were at Ramsbottom, the Pirates or the Pennines when they were swashbuckling their way through the divisions. You know,
they've got that. Said that before. I reckon that.
I think he's dusted that one down.
He's a real BBC radio.
He's been to the vault.
They've got that attacking flair. They've got the defensive solidity there, and they've been a great team to watch this season. And they're worthy.
They've won the title with authority, haven't they? That's been really impressive.
And let's not forget also. I mean, Bernard and John did a great job. I mean, the thing is with those two, they're now Salford City. I mean, you know, and they've won the league. But they weren't scared of allowing other people to come and help them. Obviously, they're a very different football club. But Chris Casper came in and has helped them massively. Because as a developing manager, as everyone are, they're prepared to take on other people, look at them, help them, and let them help out. And you know what? And that's the difference between, you know, progressive young managers and maybe the older manager thinks, I know best. This is how we're going to go down the route, and that's what the past had in the past, and that's what.
Beth, can I just say
the future will be good for Altrincham.
Just to say, we're losing Altrincham. We're also going to be losing one of four teams. We've discussed them already. How many teams are we getting from National League North? We've got Gainsborough, North Ferriby, maybe.
Ferriby and Gainsborough definitely.
Well, it depends on what's happening with North Ferriby. Because I don't know myself just yet. When the allocations come out at the end of the month, end of May. I'll know a lot more, but I can't really.
Is Gainsborough too far south, though?
No, Gainsborough are pretty much nailed on to coming with us, I think.
Yeah, firstly, at Stamford.
It's nice away.
Well, let's not forget about that. It's Gainsborough are the only club that have never been relegated until this week.
And 145 years,
never been relegated.
Wow.
And or promoted.
That's... Or promoted, yeah. Same division. Primarily. If they come to the division, they will be good. They will be looking to come and bounce straight back out, in fairness, but it's going to be tough for them because, I mean, after 145 years of never been relegated, then you're thinking, you know, this is hard work.
Generations of fans, former Football League club back in the old, very olden days that. Generations of fans who've never known the team to be relegated or to be promoted, mind you. It must be very boring.
I mean,
I wouldn't know.
We do hear from Lee Picton on the Division 1 show, but South Shields have also joined the league. You're not going to commit to this, as we've discussed on the Division 1 show, but Scarborough and Hyde are also maybe with a footnote.
They are, aren't they?
And Basford United, most likely. It is going to be a very
hard... last night, Ben, they're changing the name to Basford for next season.
It's going to be a very, very hard league next year, isn't it?
It's going to be absolutely brilliant. I actually think the league's going to be that notch stronger.
I mean, even then as well, you've got like potentially Frickley coming back into the league if they win their playoffs.
Just before we finish off the Premier Division, because we're going to be talking about the award winners towards the end of the show from last week's MPL Awards. Just to mention for Steve Burr leaving Stalybridge at the end of the season on Saturday. Obviously Neil Kitchen's leaving Stafford Rangers as well this Saturday.
Tommy Brookbanks standing down.
Tommy Brookbanks is retiring. It's all happening, isn't it? I mean, what do we make of all these managerial comings and goings?
I think Stafford's appointment's quite important. I think they haven't stagnated, that's not fair, because he's got them back into the Premier Division. But you look at the crowds that they draw and the support they have down there, I think they've massively underachieved again. And I think it's an important appointment for them because they'll want to get on this upward trajectory back up. They'll probably be one of the biggest clubs in the league, apart from the promoted ones, next season. And I don't know. I'm not saying he's not done a good job, but I just think that's quite a big appointment for them, the next one.
They've got a strange old catchment area, haven't they, Stafford? Yeah. I mean, where do the players come from and all that? You know, they've got a fair way to travel and whatnot. But they've been up there before. Stafford are a club with the resources there. They should be able to get back up to the conference again one day, I think. It might not happen for another 10 years, 20 years, who knows, but one day they will be back.
But they should be in the upper reaches of this division, really.
Yeah, of course they should. I mean, the ground's there. Is it Marsden Road?
Marsden Road, isn't it?
I met Estelle there.
Did you really?
Is that right?
Yeah. For an FC game?
Yeah, no, never. An FC game, yeah. That's the love of my life. FC. Listeners.
That was pretty good, but I understand.
And FC United. No, I'm not doing that, mate. And you're right, they are a club, and they were a club in slight decline then. And this is about four, seven seasons ago.
That was the season where they got relegated, wasn't it?
Seven seasons ago. And, you know,
It took them a long while.
It is very, very tough for clubs to get back to where they once were. And at the same token, they need a little bit. Obviously, you always need finances. I think you're right, Berkey. The catchment area is quite an awkward one for them. But at the same token, the next management team that they bring in has been very, very influential and very important. I think as far as Tommy Brunkbanks is concerned, I've got to say I think he's done an absolutely wonderful job. The interviews that he's had on this show and the commitment he's made to that football club have been fantastic throughout the season and the last few seasons. And I would like to see him. I mean, I don't know whether he's retiring, but if he is. It's funny because
when
managers retire, I mean, I work with Dave Anderson, AFC Wimbledon, and a number of other clubs as well. Dave's been out of the game for two seasons.
Harrowborough.
He's back in the game. It's taken him 2 years, and he's back in. They've just got survival. When he came in, he had to bring in. And we're talking about 4 weeks ago. He's brought in 22 players. and they've got survival.
Great work on
and the reason why I mention this is because Tommy Brookbanks is of that kind of ilk, I think. Yeah. Once it's in your blood, you think, right, okay, I'm going to retire.
No,
and you can't do it. You'll end up dying on the touchline. Yeah. You know, because that's the way football managers do it. And that's the best place to die. If you're going to go with what you love.
Well, there's better places to go. To be fair.
Sorry, we digressed. Where does Stalybridge go from here?
For me personally, I'd go for Carl Marchison, and I'd be deadly serious. I think Carl Marchison would be a great fit for Stalybridge Celtic with Daz Lyons and Nicky Culkin. I think
Taffy Jones.
Yeah, I'm being deadly serious. I think, honestly, as a football club, Stalybridge, it's local to them all. Carl knows the division tremendously well.
He does.
He's had a wealth of experience at FC United and Manchester, done brilliantly well there. And I think that would be an absolute wonderful fit for Stalybridge Celtic. And I think it would be a benefit. Carl has been, I know he's been at St Radcliffe doing a little bit.
A little bit with the academy at the moment.
But I think that would be fantastic for Carl and for the... And you know what? And if they do take them over, they'll be a force next season. There's no question about it.
How did they turn the corner?
That's what I mean. This Stalybridge at the moment, yeah. I mean, give away... Let's forget the last two or three weeks because they've been on they've survived. The form drops a little bit, but when the pressure was on them, that was title pace, in my opinion. That's not true.
It was playoff pace.
Yeah, oh, playoff pace. Definitely title pace.
Well, he won manager. Well, they won club of the month.
And Steve Burr's done brilliantly well in recent times, and they've done very, very well. I can see Steve Burr personally. Again, it's only an opinion, and it's I can see him at Chester personally. That's my thought.
But I think it's more likely to be someone that knows the club, has been there previously. And I know that FC United chaired Bower Fold for a little while, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they
for a long time, in fairness. And I think there's a relationship there. And I also believe that the chairman has to now think maybe outside of the box a little bit more. It hasn't worked for him.
He did think out of the box for a while when they brought in the part-time, full-time thing, where they had the academy team. Lots of young players who were basically on minimum wage, and it worked great for a little while. But the fatal flaw was they had to sell the best players, so Connor Jennings went off to Scunthorpe eventually.
Of course, it could be someone within the club. It could be someone young and up and coming who we've not considered at all.
It could be. So, I mean, you've got Alex Meacham there, who's probably keen to get on the managerial ladder. Yeah. So,
that is the end of part two. And, of course, we wish all those managers well in their future endeavours. Just to say, we're going to have a quick commercial break. And then when we're back, we're going to be discussing awards.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Evo Stick NPL show.
Award ceremony.
Pre-recorded live on Wednesday evening. Andrew Simpson is here.
I am.
From the Midchester Guardian. Swampy's here from the NPL, from the National
NPL show. We've also got Berkey here from 26-0. That is deliberate. And we've also got James here. James Hayes here, social media officer.
Where are you from,
James
here,
Hayes?
Where are you from, mate?
Many, many shows.
You're a whore of rain. Every show that in town.
Right, just to, before we go, just to talk about the Evo Stick League NPL show Supporters Player of the Year, a big congratulations to Julio Arca at South Shields. We interviewed him last week.
Julio Arca, best player in the division by a million miles.
Jordan Hume once was the runner-up, and Liam Hearn, second runner-up for Bayshore United.
Third, you mean? Yeah.
Liam Hearn, Jordan Hume, Julio Arca. Can't really complain with that top three, can we?
No.
Yes.
Well, if you read the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Well, no. I was going to say, a lot of people on the actual Facebook, the league Facebook, totally agree with it. Scarborough fans. And
what?
Obviously, Scarborough fans obviously had a player in that at the same time as well, in the form of Nathan Ballantyne. Everyone's pretty much agreed it was the right choice. And again, at the same time,
was it just our team that you got a load of grief for then?
Well, the thing is that if you look at the if you look at the player, is this the players' player of the year or the?
Yeah, that's
the players' player of the year. Jordan Hume at Alty won it. Michael Coulson at Scarborough.
I was going to
say Liam Hearn was third.
But this is the thing. I mean, for me, Nathan Valentine was a wrong Scarborough player. I do rate him actually, but it should have been Michael Coulson.
And Young Player of the Year, Dylan Visalo at Warrington, Alex Curran at Cone, and Jordan Crawford at Corby Town. Good spread of players.
Alex Curran is very good. He is really, really good. Attacking midfielder. Well, not attacking midfielder. He's a number 10. He drops deep and he's wily. He knows his way around a football pitch. He can spot a pass. He can spot a shot.
It's spherical.
It's not that big.
And everyone knows where it is and what you're doing it for.
You know what I mean.
And in fact, in fairness, he is a good player and he's done very, very well.
But another good awards do, and it's good. Yeah. I mean, we were saying this, weren't we, about the Northern Premier League?
Yes, mate. What were we saying?
No, on the way to somewhere, we were saying that we wish.
Well, that I drive everywhere to. Yes, of course.
I think we're on the team bus at FC United. Actually,
you're allowed on.
Yeah. We're on there.
I drive that as well.
just the fact that, you know, it'd be good if all leagues were run like the Northern Premier League, where they do stuff like this.
Well, I think the Northern Premier League sets. A standard that no other league can compete with. I mean, not only in the award ceremony, and I know certain people might poo it, and I think perhaps it's at the wrong time of the year. I think it maybe should be at the end of the year, so all players can really, and management and clubs can really enjoy
it. Why
isn't
it at the end of the season?
It's to do with contracts, holidays,
people settle. Disappear. You will
I think. Regardless, it's tremendous, because at the end of the day, there's not other clubs. He's looking at me there with the word tremendous. There's no other league that does what they do.
A rare moment of conscience.
Self-awareness.
That's the word I was looking for.
They also have the bursaries going forward in the next month or so for managers to do the UEFA B. Yeah. It is without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, FC United this season were close to being relegated. And just taking away the football inside, if FC had been relegated, it's the best division to go back into across the country. I mean, as far as players are concerned, I mean, Arca winning, it's hard to argue because of the quality. And I know the guys at Atherton said, when he played at Atherton, he said they all turned around and went, that's the best performance of football we've ever seen in this football ground. He turns it on. He plays in a way, and then all of a sudden, he just turns it on a little bit more, and he's gone, and he's done what he does.
Swampy's ridiculous. He's so far ahead of every other footballer in First Division North, at least.
It's constructive though, isn't it? It's not showboating. It's always when he picks a pass.
But what's great about all this is the fact that people like Scarborough can go to South Shields and beat them with him.
And do really well.
Hyde could do really well against him. And other teams have done brilliant this season against him. I've done brilliantly. Because it's not all about just Julian Arca, but I mean, as an individual footballer, I saw him. before the season started in the FA, and you did as well. You were at Wembley again, and you just watched him play football on that great big surface. Well, and went, you know what? But he's surrounded by very, very good footballers and great footballers.
They're not a one-man team by any stretch.
They're not. But he is beautiful to watch.
One thing is, Swampy, that great day, I mean, we were sat in different parts of the ground. So
you're one side enjoying the hospitality, the other side with the working class of all supporters.
I got a free bottle of water.
And I had to pay £5 if I'd paid for it.
Anyway, I was blooming working. I was actually working that day. Anyway, my point being...
Yes, please.
That day... that day, I looked at South Shields and thought, there is no way on earth these are a Step 5 team. The minimum Step 3, probably they'd do well in the Conference North.
And that's why he said he'd win the league by plus 20 points as well.
Is this you now setting up next season by saying that they are going to win the Premier Division by 10 points?
Yeah.
Are you?
Okie dokie, you heard it here first.
No, they won't. I mean,
they won't?
Well, no, right, 15. By the way.
I just want to get me, you know, shot across the bow first.
They are. I set you up there, didn't I?
You did. You set them up. I'll knock them.
So that is.
They are stepping up a level. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And they are superb as a football club, and they've done very, very well. But what I have to say, my last thought on.
You could throw Baseford in this as well, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
the
you point, could.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is.
In what way?
In the fact, the ambition.
Okay.
Okay. I just want to go back to the division that South Shields are in at this moment in time. To take them all the way, Scarborough, Hyde, and a few others, has been a testament to this division.
It's been a great tussle.
It's been... We never expected, none of us expected, and we all actually believe that probably South Shields might have actually won it by Christmas or just beyond.
And let's not forget,
it's been wonderful.
Let's not forget Bamber Bridge and Prescott Cables. But 2 months ago, they were in it as well, weren't they?
Well, that's the whole point. These teams have made the likes of South Shields, who have got money.
Worked for it.
I've had to work for it with a great squad. But I tell you what, this season, the Premier Division, the North Division and the South Division, been a testament to Northern football, Northwest football, and is the best.
Don't forget the Northeast as well, and Yorkshire.
Well, Northern.
They get a bit funny. That's just reminding me. I do need to make an apology. No. Tom Feeney was on the show last week, and I always describe him as the journalist from the wrong side of the Pennines. And a Scarborough fan got in touch and said, "Can someone call Ben out on this? It's just a joke. It's just a joke."
Yeah, chill out, Scarborough.
You can't have these jokes all the time. You do rugby league now. Ben can't even say, pronounce certain words.
It's a rugby league show. No one cares if I can pronounce Birmingham or not.
That's right. What do you say, Ben?
No one cares if I pronounce Birmingham correctly.
Oh, that was very good.
Birmingham.
Is that near Hensford?
Now, that is the end of the show, but we will be back with a Division 1 show. And next week, depending on what happens, we will have a full spread of commentaries on
Tuesday. Full spread?
Full spread.
Yeah, in fact, I can announce we've got 4 of the 6 semi-final games already sorted out, just waiting on basically 2 games and 2 home sides to get sorted, to be arranged. And basically, the whole playoffs are being
covered.
Commentated, yeah. As well as the integral final.
So we'll have a playoff special next week. The integral final is obviously on Thursday next week.
Wednesday
next week between Everton, Coles and Colville Town.
Come on, the Coles!
Come on, Everton!
That works both ways, doesn't it?
Colton.
Depends on your accent.
It works both ways, so you covered yourself very well there.
Yeah, skill.
Come on, the Coles!
Is this thing on?
But for this week, a big thank you to Andrew Simpson from the Midchester Guardian for joining us.
No worries.
Big thank you to Swampy from the National Non-League
Show.
You'll
be nice to say goodbye, because I'm not going to be back.
No, is that your favourite musical, James? That's lovely, isn't it?
It was lovely.
Anyway, you're off to Austria as well, aren't you, in the summer?
James, that's nice of you, because you know what? Yeah, I mean, not you mean goodbye, that.
All right. And Swampy, this is a momentous moment for all of us, because you're off to Brussels now, so that means you won't be here until next season.
No, Ben, you're wrong. I'll be here every other week. No, it's a fair point, Ben. It's this, yeah. I love doing this show. unlike Shanghai, where I was away for only 6 to 8 months, this time it's a permanent move. So if I come back at any stage, it would be lovely to come back at any stage. I wish you guys all the very, very best for next season, because the NPL is, for me, even though I'm involved in the a division above, is the best division to be involved in. And I hope all you guys with all your football clubs have a great season next season. And all the listeners, I'd like to thank them for listening in, and I've really enjoyed it, and I will miss it. That's very, very simple. I will come back occasionally, but however, for the vast majority of it, you've got a great crew of people with great football knowledge that provide a wonderful service to the NPL. And congratulations and well done, and I'll see you in the future.
And to be fair to Swamp here, yeah. I know, you know, he's had a lot of stick tonight about the time and that kind of thing with the recording. We're only 50 minutes later than we were last month.
That's not bad.
And look at all the stuff we've covered.
Exactly, we only covered about
lightning five, apps,
six teams.
to-dos. I see I'm going to be the fall guy next
season. Great. Berkey, you are taking over my mantle.
And we've got Gibble where needed.
And, yeah, Gibble, yeah, yeah.
And just before we go, a big thank you as well to Damien and the Heating Hops for hosting us.
Yes.
Excellent.
Oh, no, didn't I tell you? I leave, you go.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. for more information on the Heating Hops and where you can find it, www.heatinghops.co.uk. Big thank you to everyone, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.